not entertain!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 228.
And it's Tuesday, April 10th, 2018.
Jeff is here, and if you check out our Instagram story, you'll see what he was trying to do. And I'll tell you right now,
it didn't work.
It turned out terribly.
Fail. And as we say in the shop.
If you don't have Instagram, Jeff was trying to invent a new way of having a French press with fewer grinds that end up in the coffee cup.
No, let's just tell the story. There is a story.
There is?
Oh.
The story is, I was running late from work and had to go to Homer Club.
And do you
not have enough time to go home and get the
coffee? Do you not get all of your homework done at work?
No, it was for his... at Boys and Girls Club. I am involved in Homer Club, as are you, Ruben. We help out. We help kids with homework after school. Anyways, and this is in Elkhart.
Jeff, so I have some... I'm sorry. You're muted.
Oh, my goodness. Ruben, as we would say in the shop, fail.
I don't think much was lost. We're going to keep on going.
Okay.
We're going to power through.
So the story is, I had homework club today, which those of you don't know, homework club is an extension of Cornerstone Ministries in Elkhart, where we help kids with their homework after school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so I'm one of the Tuesday guys that goes up and helps.
Jeff, everyone knows this.
No, they don't.
Anyways, so I was at work and all of a sudden realized that I had to go. And I took off, went straight up to homework club, got there just in time, and did not have enough time to go home and get my coffee grinds that I had pre-prepared.
Oh, so you went to extra effort this week.
Yeah.
To have coffee ready.
I had coffee all prepared, and my plan was to go home and grind it fresh and then head up to homework club with the coffee grinds and then to the podcast afterwards. So this did not happen. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll just make a quick stop at the coffee shop, as I have done before, right before the podcast, because I usually have a little bit of time. So that's what I did today. And alas, I walk in to the coffee shop, and it is absolutely swarmed by a flock of Amish girls. And there is at least 15 of them in line at the coffee bar. And
are you sure that the proper term for a group of Amish girls is a flock?
I don't
Could
know.
Could it possibly be a school?
School?
A gaggle?
A gaggle.
I think a gaggle is more appropriate.
A gaggle.
A gaggle of girls.
You know what a gaggle is.
No.
It's when a bunch of geese are together.
Yeah. A group of geese.
A flock of geese.
I actually thought the same thing in my mind, but I wouldn't be so rude as to compare women to geese. But anyways, such is the story. And, you know, it's historically known that if there's a line that long at the coffee shop that you just won't get what you want when you want it. And so I just turned around and walked out.
I'm exactly the same way, Jeff. Lines are...
do they deter
definitely,
you?
It's a result of the fall. Anyway, keep on going.
Anyways, so here I am. Not much time till podcast. No time to run home and get my coffee. No coffee from the coffee shop. So what do I do?
What would you do? What would you do, Layton?
I would just not get coffee.
I resorted to thievery, and I apologize to Paul and Trish for this, but I stole some coffee from the kitchen.
Oh my goodness, Jeff.
Which I'm sure they're fine with.
They are.
But today we have a lovely Tim Hortons blend. Now, the issue is...
Why'd you tell us?
Well,
we didn't even get a chance to taste it yet.
I knew what it was.
I didn't know.
It was ready. Yeah. Anyways, so the issue is that Tim Hortons coffee comes pre-ground. Not for French press. So the coffee grinds are extremely fine, and the filter in a French press is designed for more coarsely ground coffee, and so there's a good chance that some of the coffee grinds would go through the filter, and so I attempted to put a regular coffee filter as an intermediary filter.
In addition to the normal,
in addition to the normal filter, and wire it did filter. Not work.
It didn't work. If you can watch the Instagram story to see how we started, and I had high expectations for you, Jeff. I mean, generally, I think you're relatively intelligent, and I was a little disappointed.
Jeff, I expected nothing less.
Okay. Today on the, today on the podcast.
Yes.
Lane's got a juicy story for
us. I have a story that could literally make our listeners millionaires.
Oh, wow.
For real, actually.
Well, let's jump in and start with that.
All right. So there's an author. His name is Forrest Penn. Sorry, not Forrest Penn. Forrest Fenn. And he is a millionaire who has hid a chest of gold and rubies in the Rocky Mountains. And he wrote a book or a poem. I'm not sure what. I think it's a poem. He wrote a poem called The Thrill of the Chase. And he said that he wrote this poem and hid this treasure to give people hope.
Hmm.
And there's been at least one person that has been searching for this treasure by following the clues in this poem as to where this treasure is. This researcher, or this person, this treasure hunter, died. Now,
during the search?
Yes, during the search.
Because of the search?
I don't know. I didn't go into the. I didn't look into the details of the death. But what's crazy is that Fenn himself has tweeted out, has confirmed that some people have been within 500 feet of the treasure, and others have been fewer, but others have been within 150 feet of the treasure.
Wow! So they're pretty close.
They are. Do you want me to read the poem?
Yes. How lengthy?
Inspire it's some five of stanzas, our Rocky Mountain listeners.
One, two, three, four, five, six stanzas, sorry.
Sure.
Four lines.
Oh, yeah.
Per stanza.
And read it as if Miss Martin would be listening. With proper cadence.
For those of you who don't know, Miss Martin was a favorite English teacher of ours when we were in school.
You know what Jeff said. I did love Miss Martin. She was great. She gave me a proper appreciation for English. So, here it is. The Thrill of the Chase. Written by Forrest Fenn. Copyright 2017. No, I don't know. There probably is a copyright. But anyways. As I have gone alone in there and with my treasures bold, I can keep my secret where and hint of riches new and old. Begin it where warm waters halt and take it in the canyon down, not far but too far to walk, put in below the home of brown. From there it's no place for the meek, the end is ever drawing nigh. There'll be no paddle up your creek, just heavy loads and water high. If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down, your quest to cease. But tarry scant with marvel gaze, just take the chest and go in peace. So why is it that I must go and leave my trove for all to seek? The answer I already know, I've done it tired and now I'm weak. So hear me all and listen good, your effort will be worth the cold. If you are brave and in the wood, I give you title to the gold.
Hmm. Mm. So where are some of the popular places people are looking?
Well, obviously the Rocky Mountains, because they also, in next to the poem, in the page, he's given a map as well. And he said...
Of where people have been?
Well, no, where it is.
Oh.
Oh, so it's fairly... Okay, so it's in Wyoming.
Probably.
Or I guess it shows, Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado.
It's in Wyoming, somewhere in that highlighted area on that map.
Okay.
In the Rocky Mountains somewhere.
Hmm. Wow.
It's, people have also been digging up grave sites, yeah, thinking that it might be in a grave with someone with the last name Brown, because it says below the House of Brown.
Okay.
And he, the DNR is very angry with him.
Has he clarified? Tweeted out
and said, "Hey, it's not in a grave."
Okay.
All right.
Super interesting.
Yep. So if people are
interested, where should they go again?
They should go onto Google and look up Fenn's poem, F-E-N-N. Apostrophe S, poem. Fenn's poem. And NPR did a lovely piece about this author and treasure that he has created.
And maybe you said it at the beginning and I missed it, but when did he first publish this poem?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, within the last few years, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, Layton. I was planning on reading a story that was alluded to at church this past Sunday. And it is the legend of the Sleihoff grave. And I had never heard of it before, but it was really interesting. So I found an abridged version of it. So it's relatively, it'll be about a 2-minute, 3-minute read.
Okay.
So this is the story of Richard Sleihoff, a mean drunk no one liked. His neighbors often referred to him as a cane raiser, but much worse was his lack of belief. He was proud to be called an atheist. And by the way, we'll find out later, but this is back in the 1800s or early 1900s. I think it's mentioned later in the story here.
Okay.
He was proud to be called an atheist, and yet on his deathbed, he made a very strange request to his family. He made them swear to his wishes to be buried beneath a huge boulder about 20 to 30 feet high on his property. His reasoning was simple. He did not want the devil to find him on Judgment Day. In this same breath, he made a very dangerous statement. If there is a God, let the rock go in the opposite direction. So the rock had started to lean, and at Judgment Day, he believed that, you know, the earth would shake and that that the boulder would fall down on top of him and hide him from the devil.
Oh, okay.
But he did believe in the devil.
Well,
somehow. But he was an atheist.
Yes. So Sleihoff's family set about to do his bidding. When he had passed away on January 2nd, 1867, they dug out just enough space for his body and a place wide enough for a grave marker. It was a very strenuous and back-breaking work. The men did most of the digging on their knees. Even a motorized crane had to be brought in to finish the work. Finally, they had dug enough room to push the coffin beneath the rock. The space was so confined, they had to use a portion of the boulder as the marker. With their work finished, the crew left, never intending to return. But one of the crew did return to the lone grave, perhaps out of curiosity or perhaps out of a sense of obligation to pay due respects. What he found was a total shock. The grave he and his friends had spent hours digging out was now totally uncovered. Instead of concealing the grave, as was the original intent, the huge boulder had moved uphill. Sleihoff's grave was now totally exposed to the sky, a good 15 to 20 feet from the rock. There was now plenty of room to walk completely around the infidel's grave. Over the years, the monstrous rock has moved further and further from Sleihoff's grave. And that's pretty much the end of it. Wow. But you can go. This grave is still there. This boulder is there, and you can go look at it.
That's interesting.
How do you spell Sleihoff?
Sleihoff. S-L-Y-H-O-F-F. It's in Pennsylvania. I don't know if that was mentioned in the story.
Wow. That is really, really cool.
So that's cool.
Depending if I'm ever driving through Pennsylvania and have the time, I'd like to go look at this.
Yeah.
This grave.
This reminds me of, and not to diminish God's power or anything like that, but this reminds me of the sailing stones in Nevada desert, I believe. Nevada? Is it Nevada or is it California?
I think it's Nevada. I think you're right.
No, Death Valley, isn't it? Anyways. Right, well, yeah, Death Valley, which is in, I don't even know.
California.
Yeah. So, like, there's these massive boulders out in the middle of the desert. Well, some of them are small, some of them are big, but they're boulders, and they just, like, have... So Death Valley is obviously really dry, really hot.
It's one of the lowest places in the United States.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah. But, like, so if you look, these rocks all have trails behind them. So the ground is all dry and cracked, and these massive rocks have trails behind them as if they were pushed. And nobody knew how these rocks moved. Nobody had ever seen them move or knew how they moved. They just knew that they did. And they seem to move in a pattern, you know, in accordance with each other. And this was actually just solved a few years ago. A few years ago, they actually figured out what it was. But what happens is that during the winter, there are thin sheets of ice that form across the bed. This ground is really flat. And thin sheets of ice form beneath the rocks, and the wind is actually able to push the rocks along the desert floor, you know, with very, very little effort. Mm-hmm. The wind is actually able to do it, and it's only on certain occasions that the circumstances are right that it can do this, but they can move 50 feet at a time.
Wow.
And they just leave a trail in the mud behind them, and then it dries out, and it's
so
just...
So also the reason why they seem to be related, because... The wind pushing them the same. What was that called again, Jeff?
Sailing stones.
Sailing stones. Here it says they move at up to 5 meters per minute.
Hold it.
Which is 15 feet a minute. I don't know how many miles an hour that is, but it's pretty fast.
These are massive boulders.
Yeah.
Very neat. Okay. That is all the content that I have for today.
Oh, Ruben.
Hey, I did bring a story.
Okay, I'll take it.
I guess I've got a question for you guys.
What?
Yeah, as you know, I'm in the conference room right now. That's where my office is.
Mm-hmm.
But a new office is being built, and I get to choose the color for the walls.
Mm.
So
this is nice.
There's kind of a standard color that... There's a standard gray that is in a lot of the hallways and in a lot of the common rooms.
Uh-huh.
And this is supposed to occupy at least one of your walls? Or you're not expected to?
Well, I could do all of them, but I was expecting to do kind of an accent, probably 2 and 2 or 1 and 3, something like that. Probably 3 gray and then 1 off color.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could... It's kind of weird, but we just have done a lot of repainting at my house. And Carmen's done most of it. And with the help of some family and friends. But she loves picking out colors and designing, and I'm not that way at all. Like, mm-hmm. This room that we're in right now has 2 blue walls and 1 brown wall. And on, did I say 2? 3 blue walls, 1 brown. And on 2 of the blue walls, on one of them there is circles that are brown and orange, and on the other one there's stripes that are brown.
And then one orange stripe. Mm-hmm. In the middle.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
There's 1 orange stripe on the wall of brown stripes.
I wonder what his story is.
It's just some flair that my sister wanted to add.
Okay. But I usually don't put a whole lot of thought into coloring or decor in general. But are you guys the same way? Is this a male thing? Or am I just different?
You're just different.
So you care, you think about it a lot.
Some.
I do some. I'm not as huge of a... I mean, I sometimes have ideas for cool decor ideas, things, but I'm generally of the sort that doesn't care enough about it to really want to put the effort into it.
Here's the thing. I don't care about decorating an entire house. That does not appeal to me. But to put me in charge of one single room, that appeals to me.
Yeah.
Especially a room that I'm going to reside in.
Yeah.
I can get into that.
Yeah. I could do my den in my house someday.
Yeah.
My office, I have some pictures hung in my office in an artistic fashion. I mean, or whatever you would call it.
Yeah.
That's what I would call it.
In a decorative fashion.
You don't have them stacked on top of each other.
They're not, they're not just like generically placed.
Yeah.
They're kind of arranged nicely.
Appealing to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go with charcoal.
Oh.
A charcoal and a gray?
Oh, charcoal, very close to black, but the gray is pretty light.
Mm-hmm. You need to have an accent color, though.
Well, that is my accent.
No,
it's not an accent color. That's not an accent color.
So you think I need to... The other option I thought was a dark blue.
As disinterested as I am in this, actually, I have a slight interest in it. But from what I've learned, you need to have two neutral colors and one accent color.
I don't think there's enough. Nice together. There's not enough color options. I just get two colors. I don't get a third color.
So you would use like... You would just, and the accent color you place sparingly throughout your room. Like in here, the accent color is orange.
Yeah.
It's brown and blue, which are mostly, blue isn't quite as neutral.
Correct.
But it's a more neutral blue. And then the orange is the accent.
Right.
But like in a gray and charcoal room, then you would have like red highlights here and there or something. You'd put a red car on your desk or something like that.
You can.
Well, I could do that.
You could, Ruben. You could do the charcoal. And then put a really, really hot, like, logo in the center of that black charcoal wall to add, like, because a really, like, if you're not going to accent with a color on a whole wall, then you definitely need pictures.
Yeah.
And you need, like a really strong splash.
You should, if you should French press podcast logo it. You should put that logo up there. It would look pretty good.
What would we have here, though, if I take this?
No, you would get a real decal.
Metal print.
Ooh.
Ooh, a metal print. I've seen metal
prints. I have a metal print in my office.
He has a metal print.
Really? I don't remember seeing it. Anyway, this is probably boring to everyone.
No, it's not.
I guess you can send me. Send us your color. That'll be our poll question. We haven't done a poll question in a while.
Mm.
So,
no, but in order to have a poll question, you need to like click on one of the choices. Are you going to... Yeah. Have like Roy G. Biv?
No, as no, the no, question. No, no. I'm going to have just for my second color, charcoal, assuming then that some of the decor will be brightly colored. Or should I go with blue, which will then add some color to the room?
Are you thinking like, so you said a dark blue?
Yeah.
Like a really, really dark navy blue?
The same color that's in Ryan's office. Because that's the paint they have.
What a copycatter.
Huh. I see where your allegiance are.
You should go flat black.
How is that not charcoal?
I don't know.
charcoal has a tinge of green.
If you're going charcoal, you should go flat black and then do something else. And actually, you could probably use some of the paint that we have right now that we had to get more of that we'll probably have left over
for
one of our jobs. One of our jobs that we had to paint. We had a stairway that we had to paint black.
Oh. Does that paint work on drywall?
Sure it does. Just Ace paint.
There you go.
So, poll question will be charcoal... / flat black.
Or fire engine red.
Or navy blue. Royal blue. I don't know what color blue it is. It's a dark blue.
I'm not a huge fan of
depressing blue.
Of the half and half color scheme where two walls are one color and one wall is another. Or I mean where two walls are one color and two walls are the other color. It just seems like it seems too split.
Two of them are trying to steal the attention.
It seems too split.
I think you're right. Normally it would be 3-1.
3-1, I think is better.
Okay. Anything else that we want to, that you have to share with the podcast listeners? Any feedback anyone has?
You know, I don't think so.
Our
listeners apparently stopped liking us.
I was given some feedback, but I can't remember it.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. You're welcome to getting this again on Tuesday. And be sure, check out the poll. There's a poll there, so you can fill
Ruben,
it out.
I just love how you make it sound like a privilege to our listeners that we actually did our job.
It is. They should not expect that.
Yeah, we do have a pretty bad track record.
Yeah.
So as we wrap this up, Layton, is there even a point?
There are some points. Number one is the French press is making its fans millionaires. Or at least giving them a chance to be millionaires. Point number two, Jeff was stopped by a gaggle of girls. Amish girls. Point number three. Ruben is not good at decor. Let's just face it. Those are my three main points.
And what is our word of the week?
Word of the week is gaggle.